And I am, who is saying this is Ulf Johansson. Well, very welcome to this workshop, which will be focusing on the overview of the framework for the financial instruments and, of course, also the Commission guidance, the latest guidance. I will be moderating, and the show will be held by Rachel Lankry and Hanna Dudka from the European Commission, DG Regio, Regional Policy. Very welcome, all of you. I have some practical information first. Now that you have all finished your emailing on your mobile phones, you can turn them off, maybe. And then I would also like to say that the documentation from about what is said today is outside on the tables, if you haven't found it already. Please remember afterwards that it's there. You can also download it on the Fee Compass homepage if you don't want to put too much weight into your hand luggage flying back home. Also, please, Q&As. This is a very technical subject, technical theme that we will talk about, but Q&As are very welcome. And let's help each other to be brave enough to ask questions, even if we think that they seem stupid. I will myself ask some stupid questions, definitely. And then, of course, we have to remember that if you have questions that are very specific and related to a certain financial instrument, maybe Rachel and Hannah will not be able to answer them in full. I know they will try, but just for your information, that it might not be possible. So, shall we start? And we will start with Rachel, who will highlight a little bit of the novelties coming up for this period. You will also explain a little bit about the role of the EC guidance, and you will give us a little bit of a recall of the role of the financial instruments. So we'll start there, please. The floor is yours.
Okay, thanks very much, Ulf, and welcome also from me to this afternoon workshop. You'll recall that in his opening speech, our director, Rudolf Niesler, referred to the enhanced role to be played by financial instruments in delivering cohesion policy in 2014-2020, and that he referred to some of the changes that have been put in place to make this possible. So in this workshop, we're going to start off by recapping some of these main novelties that have been brought in the legislative framework. And we'll also explain the context for the series of guidance notes that we've started to prepare to help managing authorities in their job of implementing financial instruments. We'll also then highlight the main features of the guidance, either already finalised or that we hope to be finalised in the coming weeks. So, as Mr. Niesler told you at the beginning, boosting use of financial instruments to deliver the European structural investment funds has been a clear aim of cohesion policy 2014-2020 from the very outset, further underlined, further emphasised by the Juncker plan. But they nevertheless remain a delivery mode, so they're not an objective in themselves, they're not one of the 11 thematic objectives that we referred to earlier. And they can only be used to support projects which generate income, which generate revenue, or generate cost savings. So they're a specific delivery mode. But what we want managing authorities to do, already this was maybe inexplicitly said before Juncker, but is being very much explicitly said now, is that managing authorities should look under their operational programs, under every priority axis, to see, is there scope for using financial instruments to deliver all or part of this priority access? Is any of this activity revenue generating? Might it generate income or cost savings? So coming on to those key novelties that I talked about, the way that we're trying to make it easier to use financial instruments than it has been in the past, the first change is that we have a single and comprehensive legal framework right from the beginning. Those of you, especially from managing authorities with some experience of using financial instruments, will remember that at the beginning of the last period, 2007-13, we had a rather limited legal base, and this meant two things. First, it meant we had regulatory amendments, so amendments even of the basic regulation you had to implement. And secondly, it meant that we had guidance notes that then were progressively modified as more and more questions came in and we had to cover this. It did mean that the numerous gaps identified, for example, that there was no reporting on financial instruments, were at one point filled. So from 2012, we have the reporting. But it also meant that the stakeholders, managing authorities, financial intermediaries, had to cope with an ever-setting change of rules. And this is not a nice situation to be in any programming period, and we wanted to avoid this for this one. So that's why you have a much more comprehensive legal framework. It's longer, there's more parts to it. So you've got the CPR, the Common Provisions Regulation, you've got Delegated Act, you've got Implementing Acts. So yes, at first sight, it might look like a lot more to read, but at least hopefully it's all there, and we hope it will not be changed in this particular case. Second big change, and this was already mentioned, you're no longer confined to enterprise support, urban development, energy efficiency, renewable energies. It's now every single thematic objective that can be delivered through financial instruments, obviously with the proviso I mentioned before. So a much wider scope is foreseen than for the previous period. Another big change, which we heard about, in fact, in a rather positive way from some of the managing authorities who were presenting this morning, is the ex-ante assessment. This is now compulsory. It has to be carried out in order to ensure an evidence-based decision for any contribution to a financial instrument. And one major reason for this was the experience of the current programming period, 2007-13, where we saw that financial instruments were not always supported on an evidence-based decision. Possibly the amount that was given to them was too high, over-dimensioning, too many funds put in for the needs. Sometimes the amount was right, but there were other elements that needed to be taken into account, like, for example, demand-side activities on the part of final recipients who might not just need the finance, but also other support activities. And these weren't put in place in time to help the instrument work. So this time we want a proper evidence-based decision-making. Another key change to help avoid the problem that I mentioned just now of over-dimensioning, so too much money being put into a financial instrument more than the market needs or too early for the market, is the fact that we now have a new system of payments. So in the past, the managing authority could pay into the financial instrument 100%, okay, even if the final recipients, the SMEs, only needed the money 4 or 5 years later, they could already pay it in right from the beginning and declare 100% to the Commission. The big change, we'll hear more about the details in a while from Hannah, the big change is that in future, all payments will be linked to the actual progress on the ground. So on the one hand, we'll be able to really see that the financing is getting to the final recipients. And from the point of view of managing authorities on top of that, they won't face the risk that as closure approaches, they suddenly realise that a lot of that money they paid into the financial instrument hasn't actually yet been received by a final recipient, by an SME, by a business. And if it doesn't get there in the end, then in fact that expenditure will not be eligible. So this, we hope, will not just make sure that there'll be more financial discipline in getting the money out there to the SMEs, but also reduce the risk for managing authorities that they end up with decommitments at closure. Final slide on the novelties. I did mention just now that we had this modification of the regulation in 2011 for the annual reporting. This is now here from the outset, so everyone has known about it for a while, and hopefully the reporting systems will therefore be set up in good time in order to comply with the first exercise, which will take place next year. It's been designed to mirror as closely as possible the same provisions in the financial regulation, which in other words means that the reporting for our instruments, the ESIF financial instruments, will be as closely mirrored as possible to those under Horizon 2020, COSME, Connecting Europe Facility, etc. And also it will include some elements that aren't at the moment obligatory but are very important in order to demonstrate the added value of our policy, of financial instruments under our policy. One of those is on the leverage, and another will be on the contribution to the programme indicators and the priority indicators. And this, in the end, will help us all demonstrate much better than we can today how the financial instruments under ESIF are contributing to deliver cohesion policy, but also the wider European policies. Another big difference is that we now have a range of implementation options. So in the current period, managing authorities had to more or less do it all from scratch. They had to set up what we call now tailor-made instruments or make contributions under a tailor-made approach and work it out one by one. There was some, obviously, exchange of good practice. We have some networks out there, either at national level or across the EU, but basically they had to each do it on their own, and there were no models. One of the criticisms or one of the suggestions made for the new framework was that we should have something which we call colloquially off-the-shelf instruments, which are a set of standard terms and conditions. We have three out there already, one for a risk-sharing loan, one for a capped guarantee, and one for a renovation loan. And they are, if you like, a set of standard terms and conditions that mean that the managing authority does not have to do everything from scratch. They can simply take these off the shelf and implement them. Those are both still under shared management, completely under shared management. There's also another new option, which is that the managing authority can decide to make a contribution to an EU-level instrument. So basically the idea was that we have already some EU-level instruments that were being set up, financial instruments under Horizon 2020, under Connecting Europe, and that if it seemed suitable, the managing authority could make a contribution to one of them. The operational programme contribution would be in a compartment and would need to be spent in the region and according to some of the rules. Another sub-option under this, or a slightly different modality, is the SME initiative, which was already mentioned this morning. Here the rules are slightly different because this was from the beginning conceived in a way as a joint instrument. So you'll see it's already included in our regulation, whereas the others, Horizon and so on, that contribution to those instruments isn't specifically mentioned. It just says in general contribution to EU-level instruments. And finally, the third option is that managing authorities can implement themselves loans or guarantees directly. So this option doesn't apply to equity, only to loans and guarantees. And this means they don't have to go through the setup of a fund or contribute to a fund. And we foresee that it might be useful in cases where, for example, there's a single infrastructure project, the managing authority wants to make a contribution to part of that as a loan rather than as a grant for the revenue-generating part, for example. And this would not necessarily mean that you want a whole financial instrument, but could make a direct award like, or a direct implementation. So, I mean, we wanted to put these implementation options, these new ones, in place, both for flexibility reasons, because it had been pointed out that this would be useful, but also with a view to administrative capacity, because one of the criticisms of the previous period was that for some managing authorities, financial instruments were rather new, rather complex, and it would be good to have some models or perhaps in existing instruments the possibility to contribute to existing EU-level instruments. Oops, I've jumped a slide, sorry. Under the traditional or shared management implementation options, and additional to the off-the-shelf instruments, there's also a few other choices that you can make. One of them will be very familiar to you, and that's just to confirm that it's still possible to go through the fund-of-fund model, okay? So managing authorities can decide that they want to make a contribution to a fund of funds, and below that fund of funds, there would be one or more financial intermediaries implementing specific funds. So, for example, you could have a fund of funds for SMEs, and below that, specific funds for equity, loan, and guarantee. There's also specified in the regulation that the managing authority can entrust implementation to the EIB group, to international financial institutions or national financial institutions, and public and private bodies, bodies governed by public or private law, and that they can invest in the capital of a legal entity. So a number of further options that the new regulation specifies. Before I stop for a second in case there are any immediate questions, just to explain a little bit to you why, in view of the fact that we have now so much more in the legislation, why are we doing any guidance at all? Excuse me, I'm losing my voice a bit. Indeed, as some of you remember, the first position was that we didn't want to do guidance again this time round. We hoped that everything would be crystal clear. But since the adoption of the Common Provisions Regulation at the end of 2013, in fact, what we've been faced with is a growing number of questions on certain topics from managing authorities, but also from financial intermediaries and other stakeholders. We started off in February 2014, so already quite shortly after the publication of the CPR, with a short guide for managing authorities. This was designed in a more, let's say, or less legalistic text to give an overview of the new provisions, a little bit like I've just done in the first part of the presentation. We've updated this 3 times since, and the version out there on the tables is dating from December 2014. Basically, we had to update it to take into account the fact that since its original publication, we had the publication of the Implementing Act on the off-the-shelf instruments, we had the Delegated Act, etc. So it's to update in line with the ongoing adoption of regulations. The idea, though, is not to somehow, with our guidance notes, and we'll go into details of the specific ones afterwards, to be creating any further legal obligations, any sort of soft law. This is really important to emphasize. They're not designed to somehow complete a gap in the legislation. They're not law. They're not legally binding. They're working documents. They're prepared by ourselves on the basis of law, but they're designed to provide technical guidance for the colleagues working mainly in the managing authorities, but also in implementing in the audit control and so on. And their aim is to provide our guidance, our explanations, and our interpretations of the rules in order to facilitate that work on the ground. We're trying to make sure that, A, they're guided by the questions coming, so we won't be doing guidance on absolutely everything, and certainly not if anyone hasn't asked a question on it. So that, in a way, will explain why you'll guess from the prioritization or the ones we've started with. We're not going through the regulation in numerical order. It follows more what the demand is. And secondly, we consult them with the member states in the expert group on ESIF, the Edge ESIF, before they're finalized, because we want to make sure that they work everywhere. And finally, though, because they are not law, they're not binding, if you like, in this way, they are all without prejudice to the interpretation of the Court of Justice or indeed subsequent commission decisions. I'll start talking about the specific ones in a minute, but first maybe back to Ulf.
Maybe some questions. No questions? I have one. Living documents, your final line. You elaborate a little bit on that. But if I'm a managing authority, will I have a totally different set of guidance notes 4 years from now, let's say so? How do you see that development?
Well, as I said, we hope there won't be any changes to the legislative framework, but the way that it's been set up would, in our view, mean that there'll only be real changes if there's a change to the legislative framework. The reason we call them living documents is that what we've seen, even from the process of putting them together so far, is that we don't necessarily get all the questions from the outset, and even when we try to anticipate some of them, we don't pick them all up. So, for example, what we've seen with, I think it was the payments fee she was saying earlier, Hannah, is that we had anticipated a number of questions, but in fact, when we went to member states in the edges, if they came back with far more. And it's quite possible once the guidance notes are all published and managing authorities become more aware of the input, the content, and or they get further on with implementation, they'll come up with further questions. So, I mean, no promises, because we'll need to make sure they still read as one document, but our idea in principle is that the living part will be mainly the Q&A. Okay, we might have to adjust parts of the main body, but the living part will be the Q&A. I'll show the group in a couple of slides the way the fiches are, if you like, designed. And there you'll see that at the end of each, there's meant to be a question and answers, and it's there where we would see the most change, if any.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll carry on, I think, with the glossary and the ex-ante, please.
Thank you. So the glossary one is... it's quite a short feat at the moment. It was one of the first that we came out with. The idea wasn't just to be a reference of main concepts and definitions. This is obviously useful, but actually also to help promote the correct use of the terminology. Because what we've seen is, even sometimes within the Commission and certainly outside the Commission, is that different stakeholders are using the same word, but to mean sometimes rather different things. And leverage that I mentioned earlier is one of them. So in the Commission's view, it's the total amount that goes to final recipients, and you divide it, very importantly, by the amount of the EU funding. Okay, so the leverage at the bottom of your equation only has the EU funding. But there are others who consider that leverage means you have to put the national funding underneath as well. Just to maybe give you a numerical example to make it clearer, which I should have maybe thought of using this. Let's put 100 on the top of our equation. So we have 100 going to final recipients. Okay, and divided it by 25, which is the ERDF amount that was put in. Okay, so of the leverage then would be 4. But if you add to that 25 national co-financing, your leverage is halved. You end up with 2 because you've got 100 divided by 50 rather than 100 divided by 25. And there are some, including close friends of ours, who in their leverage sometimes put the program co-financing or the national co-financing on the bottom of the equation. So one of the things we wanted to do was make it a bit clearer what we mean by various terms. And the glossary, I mean, at the moment, and what you can see out there on the tables, it's rather short. At the moment, what we've tried to do is simply pull together definitions from the CPR and the financial regulation. And this will probably be the most living fiche, because as the other fiches develop over time, we may see that we need to add elements. There may be questions from managing authorities about other definitions. We're beginning to get some of these questions in now, particularly in terms of some of the queries about eligibility. So this is a fiche which we do, in fact, think will be very living.